Department of Natural Resources is open. We are going to start with a public hearing on 2097. Mr. Cosetson, would you come up first, please? Because I'm going to want you to talk about the amendments after Sue gives us an update.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2097 repeals sunset on authority for split-use leasing of all or portion of a water right for in-stream use.
And actually, Ms. Colbert, you're the only other one signed up, so why don't you come up, too?
Oh, you're welcome. Do you want me to accept your testimony?
I'm going to have Richard go first because I want him to explain the amendments, and then I want you to comment on them.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Richard Cosetson, Water for Life. 2097, we are suggesting two amendments, either one. And 2097-1 would continue the split season leasing program for in-stream water rights for a period, additional period of 4 years. 2097-2 would extend the program for 6 years. And while we have no major concerns with the program and believe the program to be beneficial in nature, our concern is that there is really an inadequate degree and an inadequate amount of experience with split-season leasing of water for in-stream water rights. With that said, again, I think the underlying program is sound, but I think in terms of management of the resource, it would be very prudent to sunset the program for a review, allowing perhaps somewhat more experience in terms of impacts to other water right holders. Thank you.
Ms. Colbert?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Debbie Colbert with the Water Resources Department. And House Bill 2097 is a bill that was introduced by the governor on behalf of the Water Resources Department. And as you heard, this would propose to remove a sunset on a certain type of in-stream leasing program that was established by the legislature in 2001. Since the program was established, we've had 8 of these split-season leasing leases approved, which resulted in about 18 cubic feet per second protected in-stream. One of the provisions of any in-stream lease, and we've done over 1,000 of these since the In-Stream Water Right Act was passed in 1987. So we've had broad in-stream leasing authority since that time and done 1,000 of them. One of the basic provisions of in-stream leases is that if at any time after we approve the lease, if another water right holder comes forth and says that they are in any way being injured by the lease, we have authority to unwind it. And so I guess with respect to the amendments that you have before you, I would just note that even in our overall leasing program, we've never had a single instance where a water right holder came forward with complaints about injury or had to unwind a lease. We do, and that we also have this ability to unwind it if there are concerns about the lease, both you know, regular leases or these split season leases.
Okay.
Question.
Senator Prozanski and then Beyer.
Richard, if you could just walk us through, I mean, a couple of things. You stopped me or made contact with me before coming to the meeting, so I'm not sure exactly why they're coming in now as compared to what did the House have these amendments? They chose not to go forward. And also, why isn't there some type of record? I mean, if this has been ongoing for approximately 5 to 6 years, it seems to me there should be something track record. I'm trying to figure out why, because it sounds to me that the Water Resource Department actually wants to go ahead and move forward and leave this intact. And so I need some assistance as to why we need to maintain a indefinite status on the statute.
Mr. Chair and Senator Prozanski, the reason Well, first of all, these amendments were not considered in the House. The reason that they were not, I think someone's crack lobbyist basically missed the bill. I'm not going to mention any names, but I think I might know who he is. So there was no consideration given to this concept in the House. And to address your underlying question, if we have the potential impact is rather significant. Take a particular stream reach, for example, and you had three fairly sizable senior irrigators upstream with first call on that water. And they decided in one season to move to a situation of split use, or split use in terms of a lease in stream. Well, a junior user downstream, his or her water right, in many situations may be predicated on the return flow or the traditional return flow of the irrigation above from the senior user. So in terms of the potential for impact, I think it's a very realistic system. And Debbie mentioned that we had eight situations so far in the last 5-6 year period. I just believe that it would be very prudent to have some more experience with split season use leasing to avoid impacts to some of those water right holders that their water rights indeed are based upon a return flow from someone else.
And if we can get Ms. Colbert, if you'll just respond as to the position the department's taking on the dash ones or the dash twos.
Mr. Chair, Senator, if the committee were to move forward one or the other amendments, again, we don't think that either would be necessary, but the dash two amendments, which would put the sunset in 2014, would match the same date that we have in rule to review the program through our Water Resources Commission. And Mr. Chair, if I could just add, in terms of return flows, and anytime someone proposes to do something differently with their water right, whether it's an in-stream lease or this specific kind of in-stream lease, we look at how their change would affect return flows. And if other users are relying on those return flows, we would not allow them to lease it or transfer it unless they could somehow reduce the quantity that they're proposing to lease to prevent injury to those other junior or, in fact, any other right.
Senator Byer.
Thank you. So if we were to adopt the dash two amendments or either amendments, this isn't something that is going to affect the program. I mean, I wouldn't think that it's going to potentially keep people from wanting to use it just because there's a sunset out there looming 5 or 6 or 8 years, whatever that is, 7 years from now, would it?
Mr. Chair, Senator, the only thing that might impact folks that are doing these kinds of leases is that they can be up to 5-year periods. So you can participate in any kind of lease, including a split season lease, for up to 5 years. And so there might be some that would not propose to do longer split season leases because they were concerned that the authority was going to go away and might not want to go into those longer leases.
Another question, Mr. Chair?
Go right ahead with your line.
So there, I see that there's been eight uses of this, Deschutes, Rogue, and Willamette Basins. So I don't know if it was actually out of Deschutes River water, Rogue River water, and Willamette River water, or if it was one of the smaller streams in those basins. Do you have that data?
Mr. Chair, Senator, for the Rogue River, it was actually, they've all been out of Evans Creek. In the Rogue?
East Evans Creek?
Evans Creek is mm-hmm. how we identify it. It was actually Main Stem Willamette River that we've had several. And then we also have numerous that have been done out of the Wychus Creek in the Deschutes.
The what creek?
It was formerly Squaw Creek. It's now Wychese Creek in the Deschutes River area.
But there've only been eight, so you're talking numerous. You're talking two or three max on these, right?
Mr. Chair, Senator, they are also renewals, so eight total involving 15 different water rights, because they can propose to do a lease on multiple rights in the same application, and involving about eight different landowners.
And then one final question, Mr. Chair. Do you feel this has given you adequate data to show that there haven't been any impacts to any of the junior users or downstream users?
In fact, Senator, we actually just last year had a Rules Advisory Committee review all of our rules related to in-stream leases, and at that time we had a limitation of only 1 year for these particular kinds of leases. As part of that RAC process, we reviewed the program and felt like it made sense to go to the full 5 years after the number that we've had in place without any complaints of injury or requests to unwind those split season leases. So we feel like these eight have been good demonstrations of the program so far.
Thank you. Any other questions, Mr. Chair? Two things real quick. I have a note here from the Water Resource Department that the program has grown from six leases in 1994 to 384 leases in place in 2006. Does in place mean that they're not being used? What does that mean?
Senator, in that testimony, we're talking about since the In-Stream Water Right Act was passed in 1987, in our overall leasing program, we now have 384 active lease applications that protect about 600 cubic feet per second, which I would just note overall, the state of Oregon, with that 600 cubic feet per second, has restored more flow through its programs than Idaho, Washington, and Montana combined.
Well, Mr. Chair, could you give me an example of how this worked on Evans Creek? What exactly occurred there when this was put in place?
Mr. Chair, Senator, my understanding is that in almost all of these cases, they've involved irrigation rights, and though I don't have the exact details for Evans Creek, but the general pattern is that a water user will, for example, use their water right earlier in the season to get maybe like two cuttings of hay out. And then instead of getting a third cutting, they'll put their water right in stream. And those later season time is often when there are the greatest fish flow concerns. And so from our perspective, the program has really created a win-win because irrigators are able to use their right, but there can also be some in-stream benefits.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Are they compensated for that, or is this something they voluntarily do and know they're not endangering their water rights? Is that the idea, they're not endangering their rights, or are they actually compensated for doing that?
Mr. Chair, Senator, it's really a combination. There are third parties, such as the Oregon Water Trust and the Deschutes River Conservancy, that will approach landowners and enter into a contract and pay them to do this kind of a lease or other types of leases, but it's not a requirement to participate in the program. I would say that the majority of these did involve a third-party contract.
Any questions? Thank you very much. Dave Moskowitz.
Vice Chair Atkinson, members of the committee, my name is David Moskowitz. Today, here on behalf of Water Watch, we in the House, we testify in support of this bill. I just want to reiterate that support. And unfortunately, representatives from the Oregon Water Trust are unable to be here today. We believe they've effectively used this law as a good tool, as I think that the testimony demonstrated. We just want to be here to be able to support the department and that organization and how this flexible tool is being used for stream flows. And that's all I have to say. Happy to take any questions.
Senator Byer. Thank you. Would you oppose the bill if either the Dash 1 or the Dash 2 amendments got adopted?
We would not oppose the bill, but we don't believe that they're necessary. We would not oppose the bill if it was amended, but we don't believe it's necessary to be able to use this effectively.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2097. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2098. Sue, could you brief us on the bill?
Mr. Chair. House Bill 2098 requires that the extension of an irrigation season by the Water Resources Commission be made by rule instead of by order.
Thank you. Mr. Tom Paul, please.
Good afternoon. For the record, Tom Paul, Oregon Water Resources Department. And thank you for the opportunity to testify on House Bill 2098. This is a proposal to modify Oregon Revised Statute 537-835, which relates to extension of irrigation seasons. Water rights generally for irrigation purposes state a period of time in which water may be diverted and put to beneficial use for that irrigation. With weather conditions varying the way they do, there are times when irrigation needs to occur before the stated begin, and also we have had examples of where the irrigation was beneficial after the stated close of the irrigation season. Currently, the statute does direct that the commission may extend irrigation seasons by order. The Administrative Procedures Act states that in order for an order to be effective, it must be served upon a person. When an irrigation season is extended, that covers many users throughout the basin, and having current ownerships, names, contacts of who needs to be served is often very difficult if we can determine it at all. So we are proposing that the statute be modified to allow our Water Resources Commission to amend extend irrigation seasons by rule rather than by order. I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Any questions, committee? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to close the Senator opened a public hearing, right?
Yes.
Close the public hearing on 2098. Anybody else here to testify in 2098? If not, I'm going to open a work session on 2098. If I could have a motion.
Mr. Chair, moves House Bill 2098 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Pruszanski moves 2098 to the floor with due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Beyer, would you carry that one?
Sure.
Thank you. With that, I will close the work session on 2098, and I'm going to open a public hearing on 2099, and hopefully Mr. Paul is still sitting there. Nope. Go right ahead.
Again, for the record, Tom Paul, Oregon Water Resources Department.
Okay. We're moving too quick. Give us a description. Sue was going to jump in, but just tell us about the bill.
This bill would propose to allow the Water Resources Director to reduce or refund the protest fees of a water right holder who is faced with a cancellation of a water right. Currently under Oregon water law, somebody with a perfected water right, either by water right certificate or court decree through an adjudication, must use that water right once every 5 years for the intended purpose in the intended location, or that right is considered forfeited and subject to cancellation. Any individual can challenge a water right, challenge the validity of a water right, and file affidavits asserting that the water right has been forfeited. The water right holder, in order to challenge that, must file a protest with the department, and that protest fee, or the protest has a fee associated with it. We do not have the ability at this time to reduce or refund the fee, and this House Bill 2099 would give us the authority then to either reduce or refund the protest fee in the event that the challenge by the water right holder were successful.
Very good. Committee, any questions? Seeing none.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Nope. We'll wait for you.
Was there a issue that came forward that brought this to your attention now? I mean, it's been this way for 150 some years, and was there some recent issues that brought this forward, or I guess why now?
Mr. Chair, Senator, I'm not sure that there was a specific issue. As water right holders are faced with defending a water right, they often ask why they need to pay a protest fee to defend their water right application or water right certificate. There wasn't a specific challenge or issue on point here where somebody was complaining loudly that they paid and the other parties did not have to. We saw this as a fairness issue, if you will, so we brought it forward.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Paul. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on 2099, the work session on 2099. If I could have a motion.
Mr. Chair, move House Bill 2099 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Pozanski moves 2099 to the floor with due pass recommendation. Any discussion, committee? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Senator Atkinson will carry that bill. We'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2100. If I could have Colbert, Caldwell, and Myers come up.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2100 exempts the use of water by an entity when it is used for non-emergency firefighting training from the requirements for water use application permit or certificate under ORS 537.141 Paragraph 1, subparagraph B.
Thank you, Sue. Ms. Colbert, why don't you begin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, for the record, I'm Debbie Colbert with the Water Resources Department. There are certain uses of water that are exempt from having to go through the full water right application and approval process. One of those is non-emergency firefighting training. But the statute only allows that opportunity to two specific groups, public fire departments and rural fire protection districts. Over the last year or so, it's become clear to our department that there are several other entities that are doing this type of non-emergency firefighting training and without having adequate water right authorizations. And so this is to expand the types of entities that can take advantage of this opportunity, but it maintains all of the current provisions to protect the resources. So, for example, under the current statute, in order to make this kind of use for non-emergency firefighting, you've got to work with our water master, make sure that you're doing it in a time period that's not going to injure in-stream resources, not going to injure other water right holders. If you're proposing to use stored water, you have to get permission from the owner of the stored water, the storage facility. Those types of provisions would be maintained through this proposed change to the law.
Either one of you.
Further, General.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director of the Military Department, and we worked with the Water Resources Department to find a solution to this, mainly before our aviation, our helicopter assets that we need to train pilots on to understand how to work those loads and drop those drop water on particular spots. So that was really the genesis of this entire thing. We've been doing it for a number of years, and apparently we found out here about a year ago we were doing it very illegally. So we said we need to get this done and get it fixed right so we can do the proper thing and train our people. So that's pretty much why we're here, and then we would really appreciate your support.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Myers?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Doug Myers, representing Water Watch. We support the bill. Just make it very, it's a good bill and makes sense, so it should pass. Thank you.
All right. Committee, any questions? Seeing none, thank you. Mr. Walker? Southern Oregon. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jim Walker with the Oregon Department of Forestry. And we, too, along with the discussion with the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office, support House Bill 2100 and see the merits that it would provide in firefighter training. And I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that you have.
Don't think so.
All right.
Thanks very much. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2100, open a work session. 2100, if I could have a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2100 to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Brzezinski. Moving 2100 to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Beyer.
I will declare a potential conflict of interest. I am on the board of directors of a rural fire protection district. And
we use water.
We hope to not have to, but sometimes we do.
All right. Noted. Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Senator Bates, you'll carry this one.
I'll be glad to.
Thank you. And the committee will stand at ease. Matt, would you get Senator Atkinson, please? Session on 2097. Committee, the issue before us is whether or not we're going to adopt one of these two amendments. I don't know what the intentions of the committee are. The intention of the chair is to vote no, but committee, vote whatever you think the best policy is going to be. And with that, I will open it up for motions.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Beyer.
I should have asked this question of Ms. Colbert when she was up there, but I didn't, so I'm going to guess now.
She's here.
Ms. Colbert, why don't you come back up to the table, please?
She said their rule expires in 2014 anyway, but if the committee were to adopt one of these amendments, which one would better fit that timeline, the one that would sunset it 2 years prior to that, or the one that sunset it that same year? 2 years prior, giving you, then you would know whether or not you needed to look at the rules in 2 years. The same year, we would be looking at the same time you would be looking at it. Which one would be better for the program?
Mr. Chair, Senator, our rules will not expire in 2014, but we wrote in our rules that our commission must do a review of the program no later than 2014. So in response to your question, it would make sense for us to be able to complete that review and bring that information forward for your consideration at the time where we would might be asking for further sunset removal or extension. So my recommendation would be 2014.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments into House Bill 2097.
Senator Breyer moves dash two amendments to 2097. Committee, any discussion? The reason that I said that I was going to be a no on the amendments is only because this notion of using sunsets is always, I've just always found very odd, especially after we've had a sunset on a bill. We've had a chance to see how it's working. There doesn't appear to be any significant problems, if any. And if problems do arise, I would feel very certain that some advocate would come in with an amendment to the statute, and we would try and fix the problem in that respect. And so I just saw no particular purpose for the sunset, but certainly whatever the will of the committee is on this. Fine by me. Any further discussion?
Well, Senator Byers, you have a lot more experience water rights in this kind of a program than I do, and I'm going to kind of lean on you here a little bit. You've asked for an extension to 2014, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you just feel this, we need more time in this program to look at it more carefully. And what's your thinking here?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, I guess I look at it, they've only had 8 trials of this in the almost seven years that it's being used. And I can't go back in my history and remember what the last 8-7 years were like, whether they were all wet years, all dry years, or all average years, but the average is by definition the kind of the average of the extremes. So my concern is that, or I don't disagree with what the chair said, that if there's a huge problem with it, someone will bring it forward, but it's much easier for the legislature and for advocates and for users to forget that this thing was supposed to be looked at if it isn't forced to be looked at by the legislature again. And so I'm just concerned that only 8 trials in a 7-year period is not adequate data to say that it's not going to harm somebody in the future. And you know, the sun never seems to set in this building. But
I was getting close to going with you, but after that, I'm not so sure.
I just think in this case, it'd be appropriate to put it out there again. Let's look at data in 6 years, and say it's working fine or it's not. And I don't think it'll hurt the program, and it potentially might keep from doing some harm to some users. So,
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to go with my good colleague, who I think has a deeper knowledge of this than I do, and I'm going to support the dash two amendments.
Senator Atkinson, just so you know, we're in a work session on 2097. Senator Beyer has proposed that we adopt the dash two amendments, which will extend the sunset to 2014. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Matt, will you call a roll?
Yes.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Byer?
Aye.
Senator Pataskis?
Aye.
Senator
Erlach? Aye. And with that, the dash twos are adopted. A motion on the bill, please.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2097 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Byer moves 2097 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Beyer, please carry the bill. With that, I'll close the work session on 2097, and we are adjourned. I need to take